can talk about Morbius.
Morbius reminds me of Morpheus. Every time I
read it. Hey, man, Morpheus? Got that new Morpheus movie coming out. Don't do me, Morpheus.
Hey, Morpheus. No, the Morpheus movie would be live,
no, man,
bro.
It got Lawrence Fishburne in it. Nah, bro, I think you're talking about Morbius.
Alrighty, welcome to episode 6 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
My name
is Deontay Epps, alongside my brother Dane Beasley. How you doing this evening, my guy?
Doing pretty good, man. And then, for your information, I can introduce myself.
Well, excuse me.
Host. Nah, I'm playing. But what's up, everybody? It's Dane B. As my buddy, partner in crime, Deontay already said, but take it away, Chief.
We are back for episode 6. We're coming to you live, not live, but semi-live. No, we're recording this. Hope everyone has had a nice week so far. Almost at the weekend, and by the time you hear this, it will be the weekend. So let's dive right into it, Dane. We had national championship last week. Mm-hmm. When was that this week? Am I all the way off?
It was Monday, bro.
It was Monday, wow. Bro. See, I lost track of time already.
It's all good, G.
We had the national championship game on Monday, and I realized that I never gave my prediction on the last episode, but I honestly was going to pick Clemson. I was going to pick Clemson.
What a cop out.
And I know, I copped out, man. I was going to pick Clemson, but of course, as you saw on Monday, LSU and that Tigers offense, man, they just were unstoppable. They finished off Clemson and won 42-25, capping off one of the best and most historic college football seasons that we've seen. Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, it's like he was just unstoppable. He had a couple of times where struggled, and Clemson, you know, kind of figured him out a little bit, but second half, it was more him finding his guys, kind of like how we've seen all season, Dane, how he's just killing it out there. And he ended up breaking Colt Brennan's record for most touchdown passes in a season with 60. That's insane. So what did you think about Joe Burrow's performance and the Tigers in general, or LSU Tigers in general?
Thanks for specifying, because I was about to say, first off, I got to say it's go Tigers.
Thanks, Coach O.
And but man, I thought it was over for him for a minute, man. When they went down the way that they did, he just made some phenomenal throws. There wasn't anything. If you didn't watch any Joe Burrow tape or any Joe Burrow games before that, I think you would have been fine. You would have been okay with evaluating him as a player and what he could bring to your team. If you, of course, you're in need of a quarterback. So just making, you know, throws, climbing the pocket, the perfect touch on passes, going through his progressions. And then the most amazing thing about him, or I find the most amazing or fascinating thing about him, is when the play breaks down and he just goes into God mode and seeing what happens. So, but overall, it was great. He was phenomenal. He was great.
That's when he's like really, really dangerous. Like, you don't think he can run, but when he takes off with it, he's like outrunning linebackers and DBs.
Yep.
And that's going to be key for him when he goes to the next level as well, being able to not force passes, because he has that gunslinger. Yeah, he has a gunslinger mentality to him. He'll throw it up and let his receiver go get it, which is great, because you don't want to see a quarterback be afraid to take those deep shots.
Right.
But at the same time, forcing it constantly can lead to interceptions, turnovers, all that kind of thing. So I think, of course, I believe you agree with me. He'll definitely be the first pick, Cincinnati,
man.
Unless somebody trades up. I don't see Cincinnati trading out of that first spot.
Under what smart. Circumstances, if you're the GM or owner of the Bengals, and under what circumstances do you say, you know what, I'm going to trade this pick? What does that offer have to look like?
Oh, man. I'm thinking like 3-4 first round picks, maybe another quarterback in the package. I don't know. I just got to be something crazy. It has to be an offer where I'm stupid if I don't take it. I don't know what that looks like, but it's got. I just think you got to take Burrow, man. He's an Ohio guy. He's from Ohio, so I feel like it would be a good story for him to be there. And of course, I think the Andy Dalton experiment era in Cincinnati is done.
Dang,
and I think that could it. He could help. You could put Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. They've got guys there. They got Joe Mixon, AJ Green, if they can get him to come back, Tyler Eifert, what's his name? Ross. What's his first name?
Justin Ross.
Is it Justin? A little short. Josh Ross. John Ross. I want to say it's John Ross.
Yeah,
a little short, fast receiver.
He changed his number, right?
Yeah. They got some other guys.
John Ross.
Okay. Because he had that 4.42 40 in the combine, right?
Yeah, something he didn't like have that. On the right shoes, though.
Yeah.
Had on the wrong shoes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But I think it would be smart for Cincinnati to take him and surround him with weapons and see what happens, man. So what'd you see out of that LSU Tiger defense?
I seen a few Dallas Cowboys. That's what I saw. Keeping it 99+1 with you. Let's see. Where do I start? Secondary or front seven?
Either one. Front seven first.
Front seven? Okay. The edge rusher that gave me the most, I wouldn't say surprise or it being shocking. Was it Clavion Chasen?
Yeah.
How do you say that dude's name? My bad, bro.
I call him Clavion Chasen.
Okay, my bad, Clavion. Yeah. But he made sure that Trevor Lawrence wasn't comfortable at all. A lot of the criticism of Trevor Lawrence was that he was very erratic, forced a lot of throws, and he was just very inaccurate all night. And a lot of that can be credited to the pressure that that Clavion was providing. A lot of people don't. I mean, your casuals will say, "Oh, you didn't have a good game. You didn't have a good game. You didn't have any sacks." Well, if you actually watch the game, he was responsible for a lot of his teammates getting home. Whether that was, tackles in the backfield, you know, with the running backs or just setting the edge and forcing rerouting your quarterback to go elsewhere. And then of course, force a bad pass. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I was for one amazed. Of course, I had my Dallas Cowboys, wishing hat on, like, oh, I want that dude. Oh, I want
scouting
that dude. So he's jumped out at me. The one person you really can't say jumped out at you because he wasn't really targeted at all. If rarely was Derek Stingley. Like, you barely saw that dude like on TV. The only one, unfortunately, more than likely, if you're talking about DBs that might get picked up by Dallas, is Christian Fulton. And it's no fault of his own, but he was just getting picked on. But you know, T. Higgins, he'll do that to you. So
T. Higgins. T. Higgins is a beast, man.
And then Grant Delpit. Whew. He had a pretty decent game. He had a few. They said he didn't miss any tackles. PFF said he didn't miss any tackles, but there were a few times where he just got shrugged off a little bit. But
yeah,
he was all over the place. Although it looked like he did on that. Was it the T. Higgins reverse? Was it a reverse that he had? They're like, let me double check. I think it was a reverse. I want to say that it was reverse. Yeah, it was a T. Higgins reverse. Yeah, it looked like he he took a decent angle, but it looked like he just kind of gave up towards the end. So that kind of seeing that, I was like, oh man, that's not the type of. And there could have been a million things going on in his head, like, oh, one of my teammates is going to force him out of bounds at the end or whatever. But that kind of stood out to me, that play in particular. But other than that, I thought he had a really good game. I mean, I still like him. He'd still be an upgrade over both of our safety positions. So I'd be completely okay with him on my team. So, I mean, it was just an overall from the LSU defense. They were just a really dominant performance, and they're very consistent. It's like they all were on the same page. I guess this is what good coaching does for you. Is your players, they have that one vision, that one motive, and they execute it.
So you mentioned good coaching by the LSU defensive coaches, correct?
Yes, I did. I'm assuming that's a segue.
Ah, yes, I'm glad you said that.
You seem like you dying to tell everybody.
Yeah. As probably like an hour or two before this podcast, Baylor finally found their new head coach to replace Matt Rhule.
Hey.
And it'll be LSU's defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda. So get some national championship experience on our staff and kind of light a fire under these guys. And maybe he could show off that ring and give him that, get you one of these. Yeah, but I got a text from a few friends, and they're all pretty much saying he's a great guy. I've watched, in this short time, a few interviews. He's very calm, very humble guy, but he seems like he knows what he's talking about. And if you look at his track record, I read something that said the last five jobs that he had were all Power Five jobs, and his defense has improved in those times. So he had the LSU job, of course, and their defense rose to like top 20 in the nation. Before that, he was at Wisconsin.
Yeah,
yes, Wisconsin, and they improved as well. So Utah, he was at Wisconsin, Utah State, Hawaii. Those are some of the Power Fives he was at. So I'm excited about the hire. I think it'll help with recruiting for sure, if he can bring some LSU-type athletes to Waco, that'd be great for us defensively and keep playing that hard-nosed type football that Baylor's used to or has grown into with Matt Rhule here. So, and then Joe Brady from on the offensive side is that took the job at Carolina for Matt Rhule, under Matt Rhule. So LSU,
that's
going
to be fun to watch, bro.
Man,
that's
going
to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So that's the cost of winning the national championship. Your coaches get bigger jobs or move on to other places. Your players declare for the draft, and you know, just got to deal with it.
That's just good. That's just good leadership. Good leadership, and your head coach has a growth mindset. So if you're an LSU fan or a Baylor fan, you should, for one, be excited that you have that type of coach that produces that type of commodity or that type of content creates that type of culture where it's very simple or easy or easily attainable for other teams to say, oh, that guy has a lot of, you know, great talent on, you know, this could be both sides of the ball, coaching and playing. So I think that's pretty good. I know it's probably disheartening for y'all, but I mean, y'all get over it. Y'all get more people, better people probably. Yeah. And it'll just continue.
Definitely.
That's how it works.
Definitely excited to, see where this goes. So. Making the news today, Odell. So first, what happened first? Oh, Okay, so the NCAA had mentioned. Did the NCAA come out with a statement first about it, or people were just?
Did they? I think the videos were just circulating first.
Okay,
like, them things were popping up everywhere.
So if you didn't know, video was popping up of. Well, the first thing that popped up was Odell. Looks like he was giving what people thought was fake money, which I don't believe is fake money, but real. Well, we'll say money.
Funny money
to the players on the field. Who was it? Chase? Some other players. It looks like he was giving them money right after the championship game. And so I don't know if the NCAA came out with a statement, but LSU did, I believe, and said they were looking into it. But a lot of people were getting hype and griped over that. And then today I didn't even see the video of this at first, but I just saw that there was an arrest warrant for Odell for, they call it simple battery. And then the video came out of Odell in the LSU locker room after the game. He slapped the cop's butt.
Yeah,
he looked inebriated. I don't want to judge, but he looked, I don't know. He just looked like he was having fun. I don't even know how to describe it. But I just think that in that situation, maybe both sides as far as the New Orleans Police Department, because this is not going to, I don't believe this will stick. At the same time, what do you think?
We can all agree that it's probably blown out of proportion, but we can also agree, like, bruh, I don't know why you would be wanting to do this, but if that, you know, let me just stick to this. If it ain't your teammate after him catching a touchdown or turning over the ball or just making a good hands up play, I don't know what you got any business doing. I mean, that's your thing, but come on, bro. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you just got to be smart.
Yeah, way smarter than that.
You know you're like a celebrity. Everything you do is going to be blown to magnitudes out of this world. So I understand celebrating and being in the moment, but it's just not smart to attract attention in that manner, in my opinion. But so, yeah, they have an arrest warrant out for him now. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's just... more stuff. Of course, the media is going to egg it on for however long because it's Odell. And
it's a good story for them to run with. It's a good villain story. Yeah. Granted, rightfully so, should have been keeping his hands to himself, whatever. But we've heard and we've seen way worse things this offseason within the last 48 hours. So I don't know. Right. I think this will shift the narrative from everything that's going on with other not so juicy sports material, so it'll blow over. Yeah, but at the same time, hopefully he learns, like, come on, bro, don't do no dumb shit. I mean,
right,
because I've seen a few arguments saying that, you know, he was just doing that to distract the officer while old buddy was putting out his cigar or hiding or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, you gotta be a little, you just gotta be two
smart,
steps,
man.
OBJ needs to be two steps ahead of himself.
Like, yeah,
he needs to be
that's a good way to put
himself.
It
ain't no other way I could. And that's all I'm saying.
That's a good way to put it. So, man, maybe if he was in the playoffs,
he wouldn't even be a problem. But come on, the Browns in the playoffs. The same sentence.
Yeah. Come on now. You know how them types is. You had San Francisco, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Seattle. So. Of course, we both missed out on that Baltimore game, man. Oh my goodness. Last week, man, the Titans just came to play. Baltimore. Bruh. I was talking about this with my brother on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Baltimore just,
they did uncharacteristic things.
Right. Throwing with Lamar Jackson 50 passes, that's not the business.
That's not the formula.
They weren't too far behind. Started coming back and they kept going to the pass. Like, if they had a lot of time to or they had a lot of time to, you know, continue with the game plan, stick to the run, but it's like they panicked a little bit. And so, and on the other side of the ball, Derrick Henry is a man, and he's just going in beast mode right now. That's all I can say.
The only thing or only criticism of that performance was that's all, not all on coaching, but your game plan in and out of the season as the Baltimore Ravens head coach is to coach to the strengths of your team. Now, just because your quarterback is capable of throwing 59 passes a game doesn't mean you should do it, especially right in the playoffs. Now, he's a seasons coach. He is a seasons coach. Harbaugh is a seasons coach, so he should have known better, you know, basically by halftime or even by the end of the third quarter, that they should have been able to drop a better game plan to combat the strategy that the Tennessee Titans were doing. They were just, they were crowding the line and putting pressure on. They were basically doing engage eight all game, pretty much.
Right.
They were hopping in a, they're basically clogging every single lane and sending an edge rusher or an additional rusher on each tackle side. And there is no way we didn't see. I don't recall. I could be very wrong, but I don't think we've seen any screen passes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
To counteract that.
Yeah. And what's up with, I don't know. That was just poor planning. But let me not discredit the Titans defense, because they showed up. And they've been doing this. If anything has been successful and consistent the entire season with the Tennessee Titans, it's been their defense. They've been
right.
Their defense has been playing lights out for a while, but it's kind of overshadowed because of how crappy that offense has been looking. But, you know, shout out to King Henry.
King Henry and Ryan Tannehill being the perfect game manager for them and not turning the ball over. That's all you really need. If you got a game manager, a beast of a running back, and a defense, you can win football games, especially in the playoffs. So that was the game plan they stuck to, and they won with it. So, like you said, salute to him.
Tannehill might Trent Dilfer his way to the Super Bowl championship. Hey, so
could happen.
He's
gonna get paid regardless. I heard $100 mil, bro. I was like, wow. Yeah. Did you hear that? It could be getting $100 mil.
Like, it just goes back to what, but coaching matters.
Yeah,
he's always been
getting in the right situation.
Yeah, he's always been an on the cusp quarterback. He's never been like a top 15 quarterback. But
yeah,
you know, he found the right system. You know, not forcing to win games, but he's also not put in a position to lose games. So hopefully they do their thing and lose against these Chiefs.
Chiefs, man, boy. Houston, what is going on? I don't understand why Bill O'Brien is still their coach. If I was a Houston fan, I'd be highly upset that Bill O'Brien
got incriminating pictures of that owner or something, man. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Constantly, year after year, he's shown that to me
he's not confident. I don't know
if he's confidence. It's just.
No, I said confident.
Oh, I thought you said confident.
Well, that too.
No, incompetence is perfect. No, yeah, you're right. That's the perfect word, because it's like I was listening to his interview, and he had mentioned talking about different coaching decisions. Like, he makes the worst coaching decisions. Mm-hmm. The worst coaching decisions. Like, that fake punt makes no sense to me.
None.
And when they got the lead. Oh, my God.
Was that Reed?
The dude was slow.
Was that Reed?
I don't remember who it was.
Okay, but I was like, dang, Houston. I know I ain't the fastest brother in the world, but my goodness. Right. Boy, he was running like he was running on the beach or something.
Up 24-0. And in my mind, because I've seen comebacks, but I didn't know down 24-0, but it was the Chiefs, so it doesn't surprise me that it happened. It's just Houston, man. You just... It's the coach. That's, and you talk about coaching, Dane. That's coaching. Giving up a 24-0 lead, dude. You just can't do that. But shout out to the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes, boy, because then you could just tell once they got that first touchdown that they were going to come back. It was just like the snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Dane, who you got in this Titans-Chiefs matchup?
I have the Chiefs. I don't think the Titans, I don't think what the Titans have been doing the last few weeks is sustainable over time. Yeah, we know that Derrick Henry has well over 1,300 rushing yards in just the past 8 games, but I don't see, even though how historically, even how, considering how historically bad the Chiefs defense is, I don't think that they're going to force their will the same way they did the past few games. Also, I don't think that Andy Reid is going to allow his team to come out flat like they did for those several possessions in a row versus a team that they can beat. Now, I think the Titans beat them earlier in the regular season, but I think that was without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, double check and fact check that, make sure I'm not out here spreading lies and deceit to everybody, because that wouldn't be cool. That wouldn't be cool at all. But I just don't see, when I look across the board at the Titans, when I look across the board, the Chiefs' offensive weapons, I don't see them getting manned up and matched up across the board by Tennessee Titans. Now, though, that's one of the only advantages that the Chiefs have over the Titans that the Ravens didn't have. The Ravens have a lot of great talent on offense, but the personnel choices they were using and lining up in isn't going to expose or get a significant advantage versus what the Titans have out there. Now, that's not to say the Titans defense is, you know, a slouch or anything like that, but I don't think they have the speed or personnel to keep up with, 10 personnel or even 11 personnel that the Chiefs will trot out on the field.
Right.
So let's see. Oh, yes, the Titans did beat the Chiefs earlier this season. That was during week, 6 or 7? The Titans won 35-32. Of course.
I think it was week 11.
Oh, week 11. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad.
No, you good. I'm looking at it as you are, too. And that was Mahomes' first game back.
Oh, that was his first game back. Okay, well, I stand corrected again.
He put up numbers. 36-50, 446, 3 touchdowns. But Derrick Henry went off. He had 23 carries for 188 yards, 2 touchdowns.
So
I don't know. I don't know. I don't see this game being that high scoring on Tennessee's side. They can keep up with KC again like that.
Right. And plus, team is different. They're both teams are different now.
Right.
Both teams are way different. And I'm saying that to combat what I said earlier about me saying that they would beat them that easily. Like, I'm contradicting myself, if you will. But yeah, my bad. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think the Chiefs defense is much improved than they were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're hitting their stride at the right time. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu's making plays. He's literally everywhere on the field. And I think his play and then that defensive line, they're getting Chris Jones back. If they can if they can kind of contain Henry, he might get over 100 yards, but if they can get off the field on third down, because that's what the Titans are going to try to do, is keep Mahomes off the field and keep that clock running, pound, pound, pound. But if the Chiefs can get off the field on third down, I think this will be a two-score game. All week I've been telling myself the Titans were going to win, and I think that's just because the Chiefs are in the Broncos division and we don't like the Chiefs, but my logic is coming back to me now, so I think the Chiefs will win this game by 2 scores. I just don't think the Titans offense can keep up with Kansas City's offense. I see them being able to get off the field on third down and allowing Mahomes to get back in there and do his thing. So that's what I got. And then on the NFC side, we got the Packers and the Niners. Last week, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners knocked off the Vikings and sent their offensive coordinator to the Browns right after. So I think the Niners defense is really good, probably the best defense in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is a legend, of course. But I haven't seen that same Packers offense that we're used to seeing, you know, under Mike McCarthy the last few years. But to something. Counteract that, before you say that, well, I will say the Packers defense is much improved than what we've seen as well. But go ahead, Dane.
I think you underestimate, not specifically to you, but I'm speaking to the general audience who's going to go with the basically an upset with the Packers losing. I think you're I think you're underestimating the power and the strength and the precision of the NFL. Tell me, Deontay, do you know this off the top of your head? Who was the first Super Bowl matchup? The very first
Chiefs Packers.
The Chiefs Packers.
I didn't look that up. I knew it.
Okay, sure you did. Anywho. But anywho, I think the powers that be, you know, whether it be the Goodell or the higher ups, would like for this historic and memorable 100th season of the NFL to be exactly where it started out at, as far as capping off a season. And that'd be nothing other than a good old classic fashion Chiefs versus
Green for the
Bay 100,
the 100th year, huh?
And look, and here's another thing. This is not something that I created on myself. So let me not sound like I'm just this dude that comes up with these theories and stuff. No, I seen this one that I'm about to say on Twitter. I seen it. All those freaking commercials, the State Farm commercials, they've been shoving down our throats.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes boy and
Patrick Mahomes,
Aaron Gutchek Rogers.
Exactly. So this is almost the same thing that happened that year that the 49ers and the Ravens went to the Super Bowl. You remember the Super Bowl commercials they had with the Harbaugh brothers?
I do not remember.
Oh, okay. Well, basically there was in one of the commercials, there was a fan giving the pregame speech and he was getting everybody hyped. And then,
John is the one that coached for the Ravens. Jim was Niners.
They both look now like he's one of the Harbaugh brothers walked in the NFL locker room and was like, what the hell is going on here? And he was like, I'm just giving the speech, coach. He's like, oh, carry on. And then he walked out. And that is basically the commercial for one of them. I forgot the commercial for the other one, but this was before the season started. These commercials were coming out. And then, of course, everyone with their tinfoil do-rags, myself included, was like, wait a minute, when the Super Bowl matchup, you know, when the final game ended, it's kind of like, oh, man, this is the same two teams that were featured in the commercials at the beginning of the year, and now it's the Super Bowl. So it's the same thing, which is coincidence? I don't know. I'm not too big on conspiracy
theories. Theory, huh?
Just
conspiracy
lie.
Theory.
I'm not too big on conspiracy theories, but this is this could be one of those things. So we might see the Packers, and plus we all can agree that man did not get that first down. But you know,
you didn't think so?
What? I mean,
I think he did. I don't. I thought he did. They showed an angle. I know the one that blew up on social media, but that showed the line that the TV broadcast, that little digital.
Oh, yeah.
Line,
no, but I got you. I was specifically speaking about the aerial view that they had. And I know you can't see the knee coming down from the aerial view. Well, it's not fully aerial. It was more so at like an angle. But you could, it was kind of just like, come on, bro. That was a very generous spot. But, you know, if you, you can never count on the refs when playing at Lambeau Field. I'm speaking from a very specific place. Hurting my heart.
I kind of know what you're talking about.
I never let it go.
The Dez catch.
Hey, we ain't talking about that
okay,
right now.
Okay,
all right.
All right, I'm done. I'm done.
You just ripped off a Band-Aid of a Okay. Sorry. Back
I'm done.
Uncharacteristic right there, but you get the point, Brad.
So you're picking the Packers.
Oh no, I'm gonna be a jerk. I'm gonna be a jerk, and I am going to select the Packers.
You are picking the Packers.
I was building up for. It was a build up, dun, ironic dun, dun. Build up. Yeah, that's what it was. But you, I guess you missed that. So, yeah. Whatever, dude.
So we'll come back to that and see if I have the better record again than you.
Man, hold up. Okay, you know, I backtrack. I'm going to San Francisco 49ers. It's going to be a shaded red Super Bowl with whatever red that the Kansas City Chiefs are, and then whatever, I don't know if it's red or scarlet or whatever, that the San Francisco 49ers have. So that's what it's going to be. That's what we're going to get. How about
so
that?
So he's going with the Niners, everyone. Going with the Niners.
And I don't like the Niners. Probably, I don't like Green Bay more than I like the Niners. So, you know, but that's for different reasons. So,
yes, sir. I think I know why.
Hey, why is that, Deontay? Please tell me.
You don't want them to get another Super Bowl ring.
Well, the Niners? Yeah. Oh, that doesn't bother me. The Niners have some players I love. I freaking love Richard Sherman.
Oh yeah, facts.
Love Richard Sherman. That's a dog. That's a dog right there, like Shannon said.
Bro, every time Richard Sherman is at the podium, he's dropping gems.
Yeah. Mainly calling out people.
He's dropping gems. Yeah. Point him out.
Oh, and that Fred Warner cat. That dude's up and coming star.
Yeah.
I like his style of play. And that's what you call a good old fashioned off ball linebacker. Yeah, those are my picks, G.
So we'll come back to those picks next week and see if we are correct. Talk about Morbius. Morbius reminds me of Morpheus. Every time I
read it. Hey, man, Morpheus? Got that new Morpheus movie coming out. Don't you mean Morpheus?
Hey, Morpheus? No. Movie would be live,
no, man, bro. It got Lawrence Fishburne in it. Nah, bro, I think you're talking about Morbius.
Morbius. Okay, Dane, to get into our nerd part of the podcast.
Yeah, let me push my glasses up so I can see.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm doing it now.
All right.
Sony released the Morbius trailer. And it is starring Jared Leto.
Okay.
As Morbius. And he is a vampire, correct? I don't really follow the comics more than the movies. So he is a vampire, correct, Dane?
Well, I technically no. He's more so closely related to an MCU version of Batman without all of the money.
Really?
No, I was just joking. Vampires.
I was bats. Like, what? I did see the part of the trailer where all the bats came in. It reminded me of Batman, so I was like, wait.
Yeah.
But a lot of people. So this trailer came out, and a lot of the talk was. Mm-hmm. About Spider-Man and Marvel, because in the trailer, there was two little nuggets to the Spider-Man of the MCU,
yes,
which is played by Tom Holland. So in the trailer, there's a part where Jared Leto's character is in a prison suit, and on the wall, there's a picture of Spider-Man that says, with graffiti over it, that says murderer. And as we know, at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter Parker / Spider-Man is framed by Mysterio for his own death. So, everybody kind of turning. Oh, you said I guess.
Yeah, that fool ain't dead, man.
Oh,
if you believe,
oh,
yeah, yeah. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Wakanda to sell you, bro, because that's, no, that fool ain't dead. He ain't dead. My bad. So, continue, yeah. My brother.
Everyone assuming that Spider-Man killed Mysterio, this is what we are left to believe, the audience. And so there's a nod to that in this Morbius trailer. And then at the very, very end of the trailer, we see a shot of Michael Keaton's character, Vulture, in the same white prison jumpsuit that we saw when he got arrested and put in prison at the end of Homecoming. So,
actually, his name is Adrian Toomes.
Adrian Toomes, yes.
The GOAT, Adrian Michael Toomes. Keaton. One of the best Batmans of all time. In this case, the Vulture. Or Adrian Toomes.
The Vulture. So a lot of people have been talking about the Sony Marvel. How are they going to play on to each other with the multiverse and stuff like that, Dane. So what's kind of your thing about if Morbius is going to be connected? Well, we kind of see it already is connected. So how do you feel about it being somewhat connected to the MCU?
Here's how it works for Sony, the Sony movies. So boom, you have a variety of previously owned MCU entities or properties sold off to Sony Pictures because, of course, Marvel was on the brink of bankruptcy. So anytime you see Venom, Carnage, J. Jonah Jameson, Mysterio, in this case, Morpheus, those are
Morpheus.
Sony. Yeah, those are Sony properties. So anytime we have a movie that's, of course, built by Sony or produced by Sony, they're used as reference in the Sony universe. Now, to the MCU, or to the Marvel universe, only Spider-Man exists. These villains don't exist. So let's hop back over to the Sony Pictures. The MCU sort of is kind of like it doesn't exist to them, but anything related to Spider-Man does exist. I might have explained that. I think it's okay. Maybe. Hopefully. My bad if I confuse anybody. I might have said that terribly wrong. Basically, Spider-Man he belongs to Marvel Studios and he belongs to Sony. All of his villains or enemies or the majority of the villains belong to Sony Pictures. So while they exist in the movies, they don't exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's the best way I can explain it. Or my interpretation of the way that it was written in black and white. So my apologies if I messed up.
And if you need if you need a visual concept of what Dane is trying to say, Dane sent me a great article. And if you just Google, it's from the Boardwalk Times, but if you just Google the title, it says A Visual Guide to Explain the Evolution of Marvel Character Rights. And it has
several
Venn diagrams. Yeah, several Venn diagrams interconnected between Sony Pictures, Marvel Studios, Universal Pictures, and Fox. Well, Fox is kind of all under Marvel Studios now, so all the characters that you see in this Venn diagram for Fox now belong to Marvel. So, but other than that, you kind of get a visual picture of what we're talking about, or what Dane was talking about, as far as which properties belong to who and how they can pop up and be referenced in different entities. So. I think it's cool. I feel like you have to somewhat connect these universes because people know that, hey, this at one point in time, this character knows who this character is. So why not just bring them together or kind of reference them in a certain way?
Right.
But I'm excited for this movie. I don't really know much about Morbius, but I think Jared Leto is a really great actor, and I think it'll be a good movie. I really do. And who knows? It might be a Spider-Man cameo in there too. So that'd be cool to see.
Maybe. At least one can hope. Yeah. It's not going to lie, when they showed that, you know, this movie was on the slate to come out, I was like, wait a minute, this can't be real. Maybe it's just going to be, it's definitely not going to be live action, because why would they waste, you know, money on, I wouldn't even say a B-list character or B-list villain, but there's plenty of other villains they could have, especially Sony, with given what they own, there's plenty of other better villains they could have used to, right, you know, roll out the movie, but to choose Morbius, I don't know. So I was very skeptical at first.
Trying to bring out the Sinister Six. But,
yeah, it's just, I kind of was like, wait a minute, it's not going to work. Then I seen the trailer, I was like, wait, you know what, I might go see this. But, right. And that's another reason why I don't think the homie Quentin isn't dead, because the Sinister Six, there's way too much material there, way too much storyline that you can throw away just by not having. I don't know, there's plenty of variations of the Sinister Six, but one of the original Sinister Six, it does include Mysterio. So,
right.
But you know, who knows?
We'll see.
Parts though, so.
Yeah. We'll see in the next 15 years. Right. No, I don't know how long it'll take.
Lord willing, hopefully. Doesn't take that long to get here, but we'll see.
And to go back to that article Dane was talking about, there is an updated Venn diagram on here at the bottom that shows after the Disney Fox deal.
Oh, man, that mug is huge.
Yeah, I just noticed that. So if you really need a visual understanding of all the characters and who belongs to what type of entity, so it's all there for you. And then Black Widow had a special look. I don't know if you saw that, Dane, during the National Championship.
I saw it. It was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, it was legit. Kind of got more of Taskmaster, who I'm excited to see her go against. And if you don't know who Taskmaster is, he's a mercenary, Dane?
Yeah.
Is he a mercenary type?
An outcast. But he mimics. Mercenary.
Yeah, he can mimic any. If he sees it, fights against you, he has a memory where he can just see the fighting style, fighting move, and he learns it instantly and uses it against you. So a lot of people are seeing that in that little special look, he has that shield. So a lot of people have a theory, like at one point did this character cross over or see, not necessarily fight Captain America, but happen to see him on TV and mimic his moves or something like that. So
there's something really special about him. I'm curious to see how they do his origin.
Right.
The background of his origin, rather. But there's something about him. Something that needs to be shown.
So I'm excited for this movie. It's dropping May 1st. I'm just excited to see MCU back in action, because it feels like forever since Endgame and Spider-Man. So this next phase 4 is going to be legit and supposed to introduce a ton of new characters. So pretty excited about that.
Me too, man. Me too. I know they won't disappoint either. So there's that. At least I hope they don't disappoint.
Right. I think it'll be Kevin Feige, you know, always seems to know or think steps ahead. And every time we think you question what's going on, they always drop something cool. So especially, I'm excited for the movie, and then right after that, those Disney Plus shows come on. So, what's it called? Winter Soldier and Falcon and Winter Soldier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And WandaVision?
WandaVision. Well, yeah, they moved WandaVision to 2020, too. So, that's going to be good, especially when she becomes a villain and nobody can stop her.
The most powerful mutant of all time. Well, one of the most powerful mutants of all time.
Man, it's about to be crazy.
They play their cards right.
Right.
But the build up is there.
Crazy. Yes, sir. So, anything else, my guy?
Nope. I think you said everything there, boss. I think you said everything, buddy.
We just want to say thank you again for listening to another rendition of your two best guys doing what they love to do, talk about sports and movies. superhero movies. So
appreciate y'all for rocking with us and chilling with us as we run our mouths about stuff that we might not be the best experts about. But we appreciate y'all for listening to our BS. We appreciate
yes.
y'all.
Yes for the BS.
Yes for the BS. So
yes.
Please, y'all, just keep rocking with us.
Keep rocking with us, man. Keep rocking with us. If you do not know, you can follow us on Twitter at DF's Right Steps and Dane BTX for Dane. And then our podcast Twitter is the Duo SNS. Hey. And we shall see you on the next one. Hey, Dane, what you about to do?
And we out.